everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, who just yawned, and and every weekend we're here doing life together, and we're so glad that they've joined us.
Ooh,
yeah, wake up here, Chris. Yeah. More coffee.
Do you have a question? Do you remember the old advertising slogan that said, reach out and touch someone? We get to do that every weekend here on this program.
We do. So we're reaching out. Can't see us. The hand's coming through the radio.
That's right. Here it comes. Well, what if I told you there was one thing you could do in your relationships, including your marriage, that would make your relationship better? Well, would you do it?
And Chris, what if we told you it was based on biblical principles, that not having this in your relationship is godly? Well, there was a clue. Not having this in your relationship.
Okay.
Yet so many couples do have this, and it is the number one factor that tears couples apart. In fact, our topic today involves one of the strongest predictors of divorce. It's poisonous to any relationship.
Right, and what we're talking about is more than just being mean to each other, although it does involve being mean. And now that we have your attention, let's talk about what it is.
Should we tell them what it is?
Probably should at this point, yeah.
So we're talking about contempt, which is based on the belief that I'm better than you. It conveys a type of disgust, a superiority, sort of a moral, ethical, and characterological superiority. And it's rampant in our culture, and it's a killer of any relationship.
We may not always know how to define contempt, but we sure know it when we feel it. And I know when someone is aiming contempt my way.
Well, usually it involves sort of a negative, sarcastic tone, a lot of eye rolling, even an upper lip sort of raised to one side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the feeling the person isn't really listening to you, or if they are, they're so ready to put you down and not literally listen and understand you.
Sounds like contempt is then the opposite of empathy, because empathy is about caring for someone's concerns and feelings.
It is the opposite of empathy because it's very arrogant. It's saying, I know best, you don't. It's very dismissive of another person when it's being used.
Okay, so let's get an example.
So let's say one spouse always has to be on time. I mean, being on time is a good thing, right?
Right.
I want to be on time. It's something we all, well, not all of us, but some of us think is important. But let's also say that the partner is having trouble getting ready on time. So you got one person in a marriage who's saying, we need to be on time. The other one's going, oh, I can't quite get there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this way of talking to the person, because this is a form of contempt. Look, I learned how to tell time when I was 5 years old. When are you ever going to learn?
Wow.
Yeah. Here's another example. Let's say a couple is fighting about sex. No, okay. Couples never do that, right?
Next question.
All right. So let's say the person says, we haven't had sex in months. What are you, too busy flirting with that guy at work? Why don't you just marry him instead? You hear the difference?
Yes.
Contempt is a destructive way to deal with problems or to handle conflicts.
Well, this may be sort of an obvious question, but why is contempt so powerful in killing relationships?
Well, yeah, if you like what I just said, yeah. There's something wrong, right? So it's directed towards someone you feel is really lower than you. So it really is thinking of yourself more highly than you should, right? It's looking down at another person.
Right.
And that is just not good for any relationship. You can't build a healthy relationship where one feels more superior than the other. So if you don't feel like someone's your equal, you can be very contemptuous towards that person.
And with the advent of the internet, we see this in political talk all the time.
Oh my gosh, Chris.
It's terrible, and it didn't used to be that way.
We could just give example after example of the way people talk to each other in the political conversations. And it's really that somebody's coming from an elitist position.
Right.
So I feel talked down to all the time by politicians. Do you?
Yes.
And the way they talk to each other, like, right. I'm better than you are. Let me tell you why your answer is wrong. And if you oppose me, and they use these words, you're an idiot, you're a loser. It's horrible. But all of that are signs of contempt.
And we know that contempt doesn't allow people to understand each other or respect each other, for that matter. It's not fun to listen to. Like you said, we don't like to see this in political ads or in any conversation. So what are the specific impacts of contempt on personal relationships?
Well, the more you express it in a relationship, the less you're going to like that person. It's sort of like pouring acid onto love. It's a power play with the message, I matter, you do not, I'm better than you are. It's like dumping all this toxic talk onto the relationship. It really signals that you're rejecting the other person and don't think very much of them.
So when you express contempt like this, doesn't it make you think even more negatively about the relationship itself? Because, you know, I'm always surprised when I see two people who used to be in love, now they talk to each other in the most dismissive and just simply unkind ways.
It's a sign of relationship failure. Listen to this quote that Gary Thomas, who writes on relationships, wrote. And this really tells the story. Contempt is born when we fixate on our spouse's weaknesses. Every spouse has some sore points. If you want to find them, without a doubt you will. If you want to obsess about them, they'll grow, but you won't. Mm. Isn't that a good quote?
It is, yeah. But you as a person still stay where you are.
It highlights how negative the relationship is because you're constantly thinking about it and you're pointing out the flaws of the other person.
Right. And the fallout is so big when contempt is part of a relationship. It really turns the relationship negative, like we've already said. In fact, on some past programs we've done, we've talked about the road to divorce based on the work of marital researcher John Gottman. Let's talk about that again.
I don't know if you remember, we talked about the four horsemen. This is a biblical, actually, analogy, a metaphor that he uses, that are the four horsemen that will really create an apocalypse in marriage. And so what he says is the first one is criticism, and then that moves into defensiveness, and then all this contempt is being said, and to the point where somebody begins to stonewall in a marriage,
right,
and you find yourself drifting emotionally apart. So contempt is one of those real negative parts of a relationship that just seem to make it go so much more negative than it even was to begin with.
Right. Contempt is different than criticism because, at least in criticism, you believe the problem is with your partner. But when we talk about contempt, you think the problem is your partner.
That's good. That's a good way to say it. When you feel contempt, you really feel like they're somehow unworthy, they're flawed, and they don't measure up. People who focus on criticizing their partners miss about 50% of the good stuff that partners do.
Wow.
So, you know, think about this like parenting. If you're constantly looking for something negative in your kid, you're going to keep finding negative.
Right.
And you're going to think more negatively about your child. And then you miss the positives that they do because you're so focused on the negatives. This is no different when we're talking about any other type of adult relationships. If you're deliberately focusing on those negatives and you're ignoring the person that's in front of you because you're so angry with them or mad at them, it's going to make the relationship more negative.
This is all validated by research, and there's even a formula to help couples think about how their relationship is doing when it comes to contempt.
Yeah, and so what Gottman did, Chris, is he looked at happy couples, couples that are doing okay, and then couples that are really struggling. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because this thing of contempt is completely missing in very happy couples. Like, there's no instances of contempt with couples who are happy. And then you get with couples who are doing okay, for every negative that they have, there's usually five positives that go along with it. Hmm. In happy couples, it's actually a ratio of 20 to 1. So for every negative, there's 20 positives. Now we get into couples that are having problems, and there is a lot of contempt in that relationship, and the ratio of positive and negative isn't even 1 to 1. Hmm. It's like there's more negative than there is positive.
He had to bring math into it, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But it's sort of a nice formula. It doesn't mean that if you just start saying nice things, you're going to get rid of this. But you can look at your relationship and go, wow, every time there's a negative, is it sort of balanced by a lot of positives in our relationship, or is our relationship more negative?
You know, contempt is like cancer. It's like it's metastasized. It just keeps spreading.
And this is really kind of an interesting finding, that if you use a lot of contempt, people that give contemptuous statements in their relationships are more likely to suffer from infectious illnesses like colds and flus.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
They're more likely to be in car accidents, too. So it doesn't go well, is the message here. And it really conveys the message that somehow the relationship is hopeless and unfixable. And, of course, that would be really bad for any relationship.
Well, they say words matter, and apparently that's true, because the words you use towards others can make or break a relationship. We should all be concerned that we hear more and more contempt expressed, like we said, in political circles and in the media.
And I know we're not focusing on that. We're really focusing on, you know, intimate relationships and people that you talk to every day. But boy, let's look at what's going on a national sense, because I do think it's giving people more permission to just let loose with their tongue, don't you?
It does, yes.
Yeah, so that's really important to think about, too.
As we put all of this together, we need to take a short break. But after the break, what is the antidote to contempt, and how you can reverse it and save your relationship?
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and today's topic is one thing that will destroy your relationship. We've got a lot more to talk about, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamintel.com. There you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. And remember, an easy way to know what she is writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. Linda Mintel. And again, you can listen to the podcast anytime
That's right.
you'd like.
That's
and you
right.
can tell someone to listen to it. Hey, you missed the show, but listen to this podcast.
That's
you'll
right.
like it. Well, Dr. Linda, before the break, you mentioned that the advice we're giving should be applied to more than just a marital relationship. Here's a question for you. What if we took contempt out of the church and Christianity as a whole?
Boy, I think that'd make a big difference, don't you?
Yes.
I don't even know, Chris, if we're aware that we're doing this. But I think any time that we look at other denominations and we're putting them down, or we're thinking that they somehow have a corner on the truth and we don't, you know, or
right.
they don't and we do, and we feel superior to other people, we're really using contempt in a way that maybe we haven't even thought about. So what if we spent more time supporting others who stand for Christ rather than just looking at those things to criticize in the church around us? And I think we do a lot of that, don't you?
What's odd, and it turns a lot of people away from the church, is the church can be a very critical place to be.
If we have differences, we should go to each other and talk about them quietly in the church and work them through rather than blasting them all over social media, because
right.
we look like we don't get along and that we're putting one another down, which we are.
When the world sees that, they say, why would I want to be a part of that?
Yeah, why do I want to join that group? That's right.
Well, in terms of intimate relationships, where do we start to turn things around?
So like anything that you're trying to change in your life, you have to recognize that you are actually doing that. So there are signs that you can look for in your own life or maybe in the life of somebody that you're partnered with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things like rolling eyes, sneering, making sort of passive-aggressive comments to the other person. Be aware of when you're mocking someone, using a negative tone. And if your partner says, I didn't like your tone, it sounded like that, you need to be able to listen to that and go, okay, maybe I need to make some change here.
Mm.
It's really thinking about, you know, you might be doing it, and if someone's pointing it out, then have some self-awareness. That's the first step.
You know, all relationships involve people who are different than each other. Newsflash.
Yeah, right.
We find that out quickly when we get married.
Yes.
So chances are we won't agree on everything. Do we need to be okay with that?
I think, you know, we all know yes, but intuitively, I think a lot of people struggle when somebody disagrees with them, and they don't understand that, you know, a relationship is about developing a cooperative relationship, that there are certain things that people do that bother you in the relationship. And of course, you want to try to work that out as a
right.
couple, right? I mean, small things like you squeeze the toothpaste in a different place, or you don't put the lid down on the toilet seat. I mean, these things can be frustrating, but you don't want to always be picking on everything that your partner is doing.
Yeah.
And you have to choose your battles. So the biggest thing you can do is start to exercise some kindness early on and do it a lot. And I know that sounds really simple to say that to people, but when you have a pattern of negativity that has developed in your relationship, the best thing you can do is start to be generous about your partner's intention. You know, during the break, the producer was asking us, you know, does somebody sometimes have a motive where
right.
they're thinking you're going to do something to them? They're thinking, oh, they probably want to get at me and be negative to me. But if you can give your partner the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what, I'm not going to assume that you're coming after me. I'm going to assume a good motive.
Don't immediately go to, what was that supposed to mean
right.
when they ask you that question?
Right. And it really is taking a step of faith and saying, you know, this person married me. Maybe there is something they like about me, and we do want to get in a good relationship with each other.
Right. Another way is to stop accusing and saying you all the time. You do this and you do that.
Yeah, try to avoid those you statements, because they just make you feel blamed and attacked, and they're really perceived as genuine criticism of you, not of the problem behavior.
It's odd how just that one little word "you" can change the entire scope of things.
In that example that we used before about the person who was not on time, you could say something like, "It's very important to me to be on time. Could you please help me with that?" Rather than saying, "You are never on time. What's wrong with you?" That's a big difference.
So be aware of your words and how you're blaming the other person rather than expressing your needs.
The alternative to contempt is to really listen to another person and appreciate that person. You don't always have to agree with them, but listening, really listening to another person, it's hard to be contemptuous.
Right. And things aren't always as easy as they sound. You do have to work to build in the positive in the relationship so that it's not steeped in negative talk.
That's right. Positive people enhance their relationships by being positive, talking positive. I mean, it's that simple that we just have to do it. So if you show a lot of appreciation for your partner, if you're constantly expressing gratitude or affection, and if you're agreeing when you think that there's something there to agree with, you're showing interest in your partner, you're smiling more often. Think about how often you do any of those things. If you're not doing them, that may be one of the ways you can start turning this relationship around.
I'm not a big smiler, so maybe I should smile more.
Laugh a lot.
Laugh,
but yeah, sometimes you're smiling right now.
Yeah, put that on Instagram, Dr. Linda.
That doesn't look too genuine to me.
So really, we need to steer clear of judgment of the other person and look to finding the positives.
And we need to remember that only God is perfect, right? And he's the only one that really has the right to stand in judgment of anybody. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. It's one of my favorite quotes. He says, "Pride is a spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love, contentment, or even common sense."
That's why Proverbs 16:18 is such a popular verse. It's the one that says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall."
You know, it's interesting that people often leave out the haughty spirit part. And that's contempt.
That's the contempt part.
That's the contempt part, yeah.
You know, Colossians 3:8 also instructs us to rid ourselves of this list. Ready? Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. All of that could involve contempt.
So the antidote really here, Chris, is that you have to change your relationship and base it on appreciation and respect. And if you do that, you have to think of the person as having some good virtues and good qualities. And sometimes that's really hard for someone. And usually the root of that is because that person is feeling lonely or frustrated or disappointment, who has a lot of hurts and wounds in their own life. And here's where I would say that therapy can really help somebody get at whatever is underlying that feeling of such anger and judgment over another person. Usually if a person starts looking at their own life, they get some understanding of why they judge others so much. But, you know, not a lot of people want to go deep like that.
No.
They don't want to look at why they're so judgmental. But if you're filled with contempt, you first have to be aware of it and then do something about it.
Scripture does tell us to think on good things. So when contempt is present, we really need to be intentional about changing this part of ourselves if we are Christ followers.
And so that's good. It says think on good things. It's exactly like that. So the goal is to lose the contempt and to shift the overall negativity of your relationship to something more positive. And how you do that is you build an atmosphere of appreciation and respect. But you got to start verbalizing that.
On that positive note then, let's take a short break, Dr. Linda, but more to come on the antidote to contempt and how you can continue to build a healthier atmosphere in your relationships.
Well, the other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out," but I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do much good. And really, it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. You know, anger easily rises up in most of us. And while anger is a natural emotion, we need to deal with it the right way. So it's not wrong to be angry, but how you deal with your anger is what counts. The Bible tells us, "Be angry, but do not sin." So what is the biblical way to handle anger? This is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. This small book has sold over 130,000 copies. It's because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry, but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches us. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com. That's drlindamental.com, and also available online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website, drlindamental.com. And you can follow her on social media and listen to the podcast anytime on iTunes. And Dr. Linda, in the previous segment, we mentioned empathy as one of the antidotes to contempt. Before we move on, though, what is the difference between empathy and sympathy?
Sympathy is when you feel bad for somebody, mm-hmm. and empathy really has more to do with putting yourself in the shoes of someone else.
Okay.
So empathy is one of those things that is needed in any relationship, right? We always want to be developing more empathy for other people because it nurtures relationships mm-hmm. and it makes you bond with people
right.
when you're empathetic. It's one thing, Chris, to disagree with somebody or to get annoyed with them, but it's another to reach this level of disgust about that person.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about contempt. It's more of a disgust that you don't like them and you don't like what they do. You know, we know every couple fights and how you handle those fights and disagreements matters. You can do it with kindness and understanding. You can be empathetic. You can be a good listener, or you can use contempt.
And a lack of empathy and the failure to listen to your partner can lead to a distance between a couple, and that's dangerous.
That is dangerous because that's one of those predictors of divorce because it makes a person feel unimportant and it makes them feel not valued in a relationship, and that's really disrespectful to the other person. I mean, there was a book, remember the book Love and Respect?
Yes.
So respect is very important here, and instead of feeling just angry and disgusted with your partner, try listening and understand their point of view. And I know that requires patience for people to move to that position, but you need to try to put yourself in their place and think about what would it feel like to be talked to that way and be thought of that way.
You know, one of the problems seems to be that when contempt is used in a relationship, it basically just shuts down any communication.
It does. I once heard this said, and I thought it was a really interesting quote. Relationships die by ice rather than fire.
Right.
Isn't that true?
It is, yes.
So when you feel icy in a relationship, you just don't want anything to do with that person. It's cold and distant. Whereas a lot of fire, sometimes people are yelling, talking, at least they're in the relationship and they're kind of still present emotionally. But when you stop talking to each other and you feel like it's so negative that you don't even want to be with the person, that's what a feeling of contempt actually does. And then conflict just gets too difficult. People give up. They distance. You really have to decide, you know what, this is not working, and you need to kick contempt to the curb.
And to do that, we can look to the Bible for guidance because it has much to say about what is in our heart and how we are to treat people. Scripture can be very challenging with this.
And I think Matthew 15 really nails this because it's really looking at what's going on in the heart. And that scripture says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So when you have negative thoughts in your heart and you feel that disgust down deep, Chris, it's going to come out of your mouth eventually. That's what Matthew is talking about here, that, you know, these nasty words are things that defile you and really make a relationship so difficult.
And here's an interesting verse as well. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust. What does that mean?
Wow. So all this contempt we're seeing in the culture.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could say this is the last days if mockery is one of those markers, right? It's not only towards the people of faith, but between people. And it's just not godly, and it needs to be tamed if you claim to be a follower of Christ. Jesus told us how to do it. He said, take the plank out of your own eye before you judge and criticize others.
And think about this. Look at the people that Jesus hung out with when he was on the earth. Judas. We know what Judas was all about. And then the woman at the well, and then Zacchaeus, and he was a financial conniver. He was a crook.
That's right. And so Jesus, who was without sin, interacted with people who were very much steeped in sin, right? That's
right.
Your point there. And yet Jesus still honored them. You know, listen, think about it. He washed Judas's feet, and Judas betrayed him.
Right.
And he knew he was going to betray him because he was God, right?
mm-hmm.
He spent time talking respectfully to the woman at the well, even though he was very aware of her sin.
Right.
He went to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. Jesus, the only perfect human being to be on this earth, treated all people with kindness. And he asks us to do the same, beginning with the one who is closest to us, who could be our partner.
Right. And in the short term, we begin by watching our words and doing some self-evaluation concerning what's in our heart. What is the long-term strategy?
Again, after you kind of do what you said, you mm-hmm. have to start building this culture of fondness and admiration in your relationship. And it's not something you can do overnight.
Yeah.
But you do have to be intentional, work on small things, positive things for your partner every day so you can create that system. Once you've created it and you have this appreciation and this feeling of admiration for your partner, it's going to be something that's consistently going to guard you against contempt.
So as you do this, how do you know if you're being successful?
I think one of the ways you can think about this is to look back at your relationship history. You know, in Gottman's research, Chris, couples who had a very positive view of their past when they would talk about their history together were much more likely to be happy in their relationships. So if you look back at your history and go, oh, yeah, that really started bad, and boy, we shouldn't have married each other, and I really don't know if I really was in love, that's not a good thing. But if you can look back and say, hey, you know, we were happy, we were attracted to each other, we had good times, and you can start to remember those good times, then you're going to do a whole lot better at building that culture back up. So focus on daily gestures and expressions of appreciation, kindness, support, love. These are all biblical, and they can be as simple as a six-second kiss, a stress-reducing conversation, or even spending 5 minutes to thank each other for how much you support each other. So here's the bottom line. Although happy couples feel frustrated at times by their partner's flaws, they still feel that their partner is worthy of honor and respect. If you allow positivity to dwindle over time through conflict, through resentment, or simply saying contemptuous things, you become more critical and eventually resentful, and that's going to be creating that culture of contempt. So determine today to think on good things about your partner, to give them respect and verbalize your appreciation for them. Take any contempt out of your relationship. If you are so negative you can't turn it around, we really suggest you see a couples therapist and get at the root of your pride and judgment. It just may be that there are things in you that need to change. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media director, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you again next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.